call me a pariah. My name is Tina Conrad, aka DJ Breast Cancer, and this is a podcast on journeys through cancer. It is also about those making a difference in the world of cancer. My mission is to inspire hope, help one person every day. Consider it a girlfriend's guide to breast cancer. It's where inspiration meets expectation, where reality meets dreams, and dreams lost. It's about life after cancer and how other pink sisters can help you through. It's about sharing your story, your journey. Cancer is life-changing. Sharing our stories and creating dialogue about breast cancer realities and research can inspire hope and change. This podcast was created to inspire love, hope, and light in the darkness. This podcast is inspired by a shining light, my dear friend and pink sister, Sandy Clausen. She passed away in July of 2018 after a recurrence of breast cancer, and she never gave up fighting. Season 3 is dedicated to Lindsay Blythe, a mom of two beautiful young children and an Instagram friend of mine. She was full of light, hope, and love for others. She was an amazing mom and wife. I want to give names and faces and details to these women that have passed away from this horrible disease. Breast cancer is not a good kind of cancer. There is no good cancer. So let's talk about it. Welcome to DJ Breast Cancer, Season 3. Hey everybody, it is Tina Conrad, aka DJ Breast Cancer, and I am here for the kickoff of Season 3, Episode 1, and I have a very special guest with me today. Her name is Samantha Harris, and she is so obliging to start off my big Season 3 with me, and I'm so excited. So you may know her. She is a TV host, co-host of Dancing with the Stars. She is an author of an amazing book, Your Healthy is Healthy. She's a certified trainer, a breast cancer survivor, a wife, and a proud mom of two. She also makes some amazing, delicious smoothie recipes as well. She is a true optimist, just like me, and she is really the definition of what being a guide and helping others through a cancer journey looks like. And I'm a little bit starstruck today, but I'm also just so, so excited to share the story of today's guest, Samantha Harris. So, Samantha, hi.
Hi, Tina. Thank you. First of all, thank you not only for having me on, and I didn't even realize I was going to be on as your first guest of Season 3, so thank you for that, but also thank you for putting out into the world for all survivors and thrivers what you are doing through your podcast and your Instagram posts. It's really remarkable, and we need to be a positive sisterhood to keep us all going. So thank you.
Oh, thank you. Yes. And I love what you're doing to give back. I know for me, it wasn't enough to just, you know, go through the experience. I needed to help others through. And I truly believe you're the epitome of that as well. And you're such a great role model, you know, for other people to, you know, continue to be healthy and get their lives even healthier after cancer. So if you want to tell everybody,
it is really important.
Oh, yeah, sorry. If you want to tell everyone just a little bit about yourself and, you know, just in your own words, you know, who you are and a little bit about your cancer journey.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, you hit it off right at the start there. You know, people really know me from Dancing with the Stars and Entertainment Tonight and other entertainment news shows that I've done over my career. But you know, my passion has always been also in health and fitness, in wellness. And that was really pushed to the forefront after my breast cancer diagnosis blindsided me when I was just 40. And I was already also a certified trainer because, again, health had been a passion of mine. I had done numerous magazine covers and layouts, and I wanted to have the credibility that went along with the interviews that I was already giving, people asking about how to stay in shape and what to do. And I was giving advice, but I really wanted to make sure that I put my money where my mouth was. And so on a hiatus between Dancing with the Stars and Entertainment Tonight. I spent a few months studying and got my certification. And that was back in 2012. And I've kept up my certification all this time as a trainer. But really, my cancer journey, it compelled me to become the healthiest I've ever been, because it ignited in me something so powerful with no hereditary link to wondering why, with, you know, a healthy lifestyle, exercising regularly, and being a young mom of two little girls who were just 3 and 6 at the time of my diagnosis, why was I struck with cancer? Why are so many women, 1 in 8 women, will be diagnosed with invasive breast cancer over the course of her lifetime? And it's an unacceptable number. And so I delved into research. Journalism is my background and my schooling. And I began to read voraciously, speak to numerous experts. And I determined it's truly what you put in, on, and around your body that makes such an impact on your overall well-being, for better or worse. And I started making sweeping changes, little by little, but big changes in how I ate, what kinds of beauty care products I used, what cleaning supplies I used in my home, what sort of relationships were in my life, what ones were toxic and dragging me down, and who were the ones who were lifting, having that positive support network around me, I found was so essential, not only through my cancer journey, but then, of course, afterwards, knowing that I wanted to live a long, healthy life going forward. And so really on every level, that all became my new mission and my healthy. And once I discovered all of this, I thought, you know, I searched for a comprehensive action plan for me to follow post-cancer, and it didn't really exist. And so for all the research and time I spent bettering my own life, I wanted to be able to share that with others. And that's why I wrote Your Healthiest Healthy. And the subtitle kind of sums it up. It's 8 easy ways to take control, help prevent and fight cancer, and live a longer, cleaner, happier life. And that's exactly what it does, as well as the wellness retreats that I'm also doing, which we can talk about as well as we continue on.
Yeah. And I purchased your book and I've really enjoyed it. And I want to just say, like, I think it's an amazing book in the fact that it covers all aspects of a survivor's life. So not only just, you know, oh, go eat well, you know, like I think most people know that, you know, and then also exercise, people, you know, also know that as well. But just the whole, you know, positive attitude and the mental health aspect, and even like the relationships, and what does that look like for a person after cancer, and how can you, you know, get through all that, but you really keep it real and like give a lot of detail, you know, just in terms of a person's body and what they should expect to see and how to be healthier. And I've taken away so many great tips, and obviously I will, you know, be posting, you know, where people can find this, Your Healthiest Healthy book, but I just think it's chock full of like so many amazing tips that, you know, anybody can benefit from.
Thank you. Thank you. I hope so. The feedback that I've been getting from the greater community has been really impactful for me, because I wanted to be able to help people take those sort of sometimes daunting steps to a healthier self. And so the feedback that I'm getting has been that it's been really helpful. You know, I think we oftentimes think that we have to make a quick 180 and change everything super fast, overnight, get it done. And because that is so overwhelming, it can be paralyzing. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing that I think is really important as a message to get through Your Healthiest Healthy, which is it's about small, manageable steps, each one leading towards a healthier place in your journey towards Your Healthiest Healthy. And guess what? This is kind of a shocker here for some. You're not going to ever get to your actual healthiest, because it's an ongoing journey, mm-hmm. right? No one can ever say, I've reached it. I am the healthiest and there's nothing can touch me now. Well, I'm a superhero. I wish, but what we can do is not throw up our hands and say, I have no control over my well-being. Mm-hmm. What we can do is take that control and say, well, you know what? I can reduce my chance of recurrence. I can reduce my chance of ever getting a cancer. I've never had cancer. I can reduce my chances of other chronic diseases like type 2 diabetes and heart disease and autoimmune disorders. I can do these things by approaching health and wellness in a different way with small, manageable steps. So what that might look like is take nutrition. Yeah, we all know, like you said, we all know to eat healthily. We all know to work out, right? Well, what does that mean to eat healthy? Does that mean, to me, what that meant before cancer was, oh, I better eat a low-fat or fat-free diet. I should have chicken without the skin and egg whites and maybe some cheeseless pizza from, you know, time to time. And what I didn't realize is what that gave me was a tummy full of chemicals and preservatives and packaged crap that and sugars that were even in places I didn't even know they existed, things that I didn't, that, you know, on the surface don't even need to be sweet. You know, we're thinking about, you think of ketchup and pasta sauce and bread, high fructose corn syrup and other types of sugars. But high fructose corn syrup, I think of as liquid death. So that is the number one easiest thing to get rid of. Go in your pantry. One easy step. Go into your pantry, open that fridge, turn those labels around. Know your ingredients by reading your ingredients labels. If there's high fructose corn syrup in something, chuck it. Don't, if it's not open and you feel like you don't feel like you're passing along liquid death to others, donate it to the local food bank. But get rid of it and swap it out for some product that doesn't have high fructose corn syrup, because you're not going to taste a difference, but it's going to make a world of difference on the inside of your body.
No, I love
one
that.
One simple, small step.
I love that. I love the simple, small steps. And I think that that's great. And I think there are so many things that we can do. Like I know for me, you know, I mean, I cleaned my house. And so, you know, I didn't really pay attention to the chemicals that I used. I mean, sometimes I wore gloves, sometimes I didn't wear gloves. This is all before cancer. And so now I'm just much more diligent about, you know, trying to buy cleaner, freer, you know, products, and then always wearing gloves 100% of the time. And then it's simple things like as my makeup, you know, if I need something new, I'm now switching to everything, you know, either, you know, beauty counter or something that's, you know, definitely under much more stricter guidances than many of the other cosmetic companies are today. I just think that there's a lot of simple things. Yeah, there's just a lot of things that we can do to just be more. I mean, our skin is our biggest organ, and we often fail to like really look at like what we're putting on it and in it.
Well, you know, when you think about the fact that I think on a daily basis, I'm probably totally misquoting, but I'm going to throw out a number. We put on something like, I don't know, 52 different products and ingredients on our body on a daily basis. Over time, if those are endocrine disruptors or their level of toxicity or carcinogens are high, over time, drip, 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 it's going to add up. Mm-hmm. If you look at the European Union bans more than 1,300 ingredients as either carcinogenic or possibly carcinogenic. That means causes cancer. The United States bans only 11. So when we have to, as consumers, we have to be proactive. Mm-hmm. We have to be in control of what we are choosing, because that is where our power lies, choosing to put on our bodies. I'm grateful that there are, you know, in my book, I talk about a bunch of different chemicals, ingredients to avoid. But for those of us who just want a cheat sheet, there are a couple of really terrific online resources, like the Environmental Working Group, EWG.org. I feel like it is a go-to for a lot of my stuff. You can look up individual chemicals. You can look up individual products. They rate them based on level of toxicity. They do give an average based on all the, so let's say you're looking at a lotion and that lotion has, you know, 26 different ingredients. Well, they're the number, it's going to be a 1 through 10, 10 being the most toxic, 1 being the least. The number is an average of all those 26 ingredients. So fragrance on its own is a 9, incredibly toxic. And the reason it's put as incredibly toxic, even if it might not be, is because fragrance is a proprietary substance. So manufacturers, even the company that is adding a fragrance in the product, they don't even get disclosed to them what the ingredients of that fragrance are. So as a catch-all, Environmental Working Group lists fragrance as a 9. But if it's all with essential oils and natural safe ingredients, then that fragrance is okay. So we're trying to change things from a level at a governmental level with legislation called the Personal Care Products Act. And that has been stuck in Congress, like so many other things, for way too many years. So a couple of other great online resources, if you don't want to have to go ingredient by ingredient on the EWG's website, there are 3 different online beauty stores that I'm familiar with that are very similar to a Sephora, but with a very high level of oversight and what products they'll allow on their site, so that you know when you shop there, any brand, or even just, I kind of go there like they're the kind of my encyclopedia. I'm like, ooh, what new brand? I need a new eyeshadow. What are some brands that I can look at? Now, I might not buy it from that site, but at least it will give me a familiarity with what brands are clean. One is called Follane. Another is Detox Market. And the last is Credo Beauty. And they are all wonderful assets for when you're looking for new skincare or makeup.
Great. And I will share those with the listeners too. That's amazing. I know in terms of just healthy eating too, I loved in your book, you kind of preferenced it already too, but just, you know, this low fat to healthy. And I mean, I know I was a victim, like I used to eat snack wells and all this like crap, you know, and then, you know, Diet Coke on the regular, you know, and you'd thought like you were, you know, being thin and doing all that. And I think now, like I don't even count a calorie. It's all about like the quality of food. And I think of, food as fuel for my body. And it's just kind of a whole different mindset shift. For me after cancer, definitely. And just making sure that I'm putting the best, you know, and most of the time organic ingredients in my body that I can.
Right. And what you said, snack wells by the box load. And I mean, what is in that? It's all fake. So really understanding, I mean, a calorie is a calorie is a calorie. Yes and no. I don't count calories. Now, if you are watching your weight, it still might be something that is necessary. So I'm not saying, hey, totally ignore calories, but it's not, I've never looked at calories myself. I used to look specifically at fat because I was afraid of fat. I thought fat was the devil. It was the F word to me. And since the changeover post-cancer, when I started integrating, because I never ate any of these things before, avocados, nuts, mm-hmm. seeds, extra virgin olive oil, I was afraid of using any of those things as part of my regular diet. And the craziest thing is that when I started integrating them into my daily diet, while at the same time increasing significantly the amount of plant-based food, specifically raw veggies on a daily basis, I ended up, and I wasn't, look, I know I'm a thin girl and I wasn't looking to lose weight, but I actually, my body, I think, found its humming place, its sweet mm-hmm. spot. And I dropped a couple of pounds. I leaned out a little bit more. And I think my body found the place it really wanted to live. And not to say that I don't have sweets. I am by far a perfect specimen for eating. Every week we go to the frozen yogurt place and I get my thing and I have dark chocolate every night. But I make sure that dark chocolate is at least 70% cacao. And, a couple of squares slowly melting in my mouth really satiates that sweet tooth. If there are cookies or brownies, guess what? I'm probably going to eat them. So I try not to keep them around. But if I'm at a party or I'm at somewhere, I will indulge. However, it's about that balance. And if I, it's like kind of like that either 80-20, ideally 90-10 rule, where if I'm the majority of the time eating a whole foods plant-based diet, then when I cheat a little bit over here, so no big deal. No guilt. The next day, get right back on the horse and start again with that smoothie with all my kale and spinach in it,
Yeah, I love that. And I, I had gained some weight, I know, especially after my diagnosis. I think partially just because I could eat again, and after all the issues with chemo, like just to be able to eat and have, you know, an appetite. And, you know, then I'm on tamoxifen and all this stuff slowing down my metabolism. And I was like, you know what, I really need to be serious about like my diet and really try wholeheartedly, you know, to maintain a proper weight, because obviously too, for recurrence, it's really beneficial to keep your weight, you know, at, you know, a good level and not gain, you know, or have like such yo-yo either too. But I did a no sugar cleanse kind of thing for like 30 days. I still could have red wine. So I was like, hey, any cleanse that has a red wine, you know, still in the mix is fine by me. But, it really taught me to read labels. And, you know, I made my own salad dressing. And I still do to this day. It's, you know, it's just olive oil and balsamic vinaigrette, you know, that I do myself. And I make my own spaghetti sauce with just crushed tomatoes. Like, it was kind of amazing how much they sneak sugar into things. And it really made me much more an advocate of like being mindful of what I'm putting into my body. And to your point, like I found kind of that sweet spot, like, oh, okay, this is like where, you know, I immediately dropped like 15 pounds. It was crazy, but I never counted a calorie. And for me, that was like so amazing after all this, you know, years of my life counting calories and where am I at? And, you know, all the stress of dieting really just kind of went away and I just allowed myself to be. And it's just kind of interesting.
You know, it's so good that you say that, because I think that is such an amazing place to be, where when you are stressed out because you're looking at, it's important to look at the nutrition label. I'm not saying to ignore it, because especially with sat fats and definitely trans fats, stay far away from, you want to be aware of, you also want to look at the number of sugars. But it's what you're focusing on in that nutrition label. Not just the ingredients, but the actual nutrition label. It's different. We used to always count calories or calories and fat, but looking at the number of sugars, the amount of sodium, the ratio of sugars to carbohydrates, but really, if you are eating a whole foods plant-based diet, and I'm not saying packaged frozen goods, I'm saying real fresh, straight from the market, organic produce, you can eat copious amounts and still be trim. I mean, I can't tell you how large my lunch salad is. It's like almost embarrassing, but I've been doing it for the last 5 years and it fills me up. I don't snack during the day. Okay, there are some bean chips that I might eat. but I'm not, that's more of a salt craving, which is like, wait, I gotta watch out. You know, but you are, the point is, and I'm going down the rabbit hole right now, but the point is that you're eating healthy whole foods. You don't have to focus on the labels and worry about the quote unquote diet, because you're eating the right foods for your body that your body needs, the micronutrients that you can't see on the nutrition label. And that is what counts. And that's what makes a difference. And one other quick point. You mentioned the sugars and how shocked you were by all the hidden sugars. It is mind-blowing the number of different names, the synonyms that they have for sugar, so that these tricky marketing gurus at these big corporations can have you turn the package around and you're like, well, guess what? I'm really focused on the first three or four ingredients, because that's always the bulk of the ingredients. So, oh, I don't see sugar anywhere there. Great, I can eat this. But if you look a little further down, you see the words maltodextrin, fructose, sucrose, anything that ends in ose, malt barley, anything that ends in the word syrup. They're all different words for sugar. And so they get it in there one way or the other. And but the smarter you are about educating yourself, the less you can be tricked.
Yeah, I love that. Let's talk a little bit about your retreats, because it's kind of taking this whole book and this Your Healthy is Healthy and kind of bringing it to people like in a journey and in an experience and in a sisterhood. And I think it's just such an amazing opportunity for women to do this. And I know you have one scheduled in October in Utah. And I saw online that it's like 4 days and 3 nights of group coaching workout classes. self-care and then massage. Like, that sounds amazing. So like, tell me a little.
Yeah.
Like, all of that sounds great.
People kept reaching out saying, I love the book. I love the information I'm getting from the book, but I wish I could have a little bit more hands-on, to really integrate the Your Healthiest Healthy approach into my life. And so I decided that I would start the Your Healthiest Healthy wellness retreats. I'm working with a great retreat company. They do this full time with a variety of different focuses, all within the wellness space. And so, yeah, the next retreat is going to be in October during Breast Cancer Awareness Month. A promo just ended to benefit Susan G. Komen, but even so, I think what I'm going to continue to do is for every sign up, I'm going to donate $100 to Komen in the person's name who signs up, because Susan G. Komen is such an important foundation. I'm an ambassador for them, the work that they do, not only on the ground in communities, but also on a governmental level, lobbying Congress to make sure that we are all taken care of, and also to make sure that no woman is without access to care with the breast cancer diagnosis. So I really want to continue to give back to Susan G. Komen. But it's great that it's during Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So like you said, it's October 10th through the 13th. It's at a beautiful high-end resort and spa called Red Mountain. It's in Utah. We're going to be hiking one day, doing a cardio blast. Another day, I'm going to teach a class that's going to be calorie crunching, but really for all levels. Another day at night, I'm going to lead a wind down stretch candlelight, little just yummy, make your body feel good before bedtime type of class. And then every day we have brunch together. And during the brunch, and as brunch ends, and we continue on with a group coaching session, really bringing the Your Healthiest Healthy book to life. So one day will all be about nutrition, another day about personal care products, feminine hygiene. And then the last day will really be more that mind attitude about surrounding yourself with a positive support network, getting rid of toxic relationships, reinforcing resiliency and positivity in every aspect of your life, and how basically I'm going to arm you with the tools that you need to go home and apply it to your life to make yourself one step, two steps, 400 steps closer to your healthiest healthy. But really, I'm just looking forward to some girl bonding time. Just hang out. It's a small, intimate group. Right now we're capping it at 15. We might go to 20 if we need to. But it might even be smaller than that. The signups are just starting to roll in. And for people who can't get away for 4 days and three nights, this is the first time we're hearing it. But we are actually putting in the books, hopefully in the next couple of months, a mini retreat. That'll just be 3 days, two nights, just over the course of a weekend, probably in California at a beautiful resort, maybe with a beach. So that's a little teaser for you, and everyone can kind of just stay tuned to my Instagram for the announcement when that comes out. But I want to make it accessible to more people, and by offering mini retreat, it's a little less expensive. So that might be more accessible to others who might not, who, you know, I understand how it all is. And I want to make sure that I'm giving to Komen, I'm giving you guys enough, and I want to have it at a beautiful location and not sacrifice that.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds amazing. I'm going to have to look into the one in California for sure that you do. I love you.
Hey, it's all about grab girlfriends, come with your girlfriends, with your mom, your sister, your besties. But also even we have a couple of women who signed up, who are coming just on their own, and I think that's great because this is an opportunity to get to know other like-minded women and have these friendships, and then hopefully, you know, come back on retreats in the future.
Yeah.
Together, meet up.
I love that. I've met so many survivors now, and actually in October, I'm meeting two survivors that, like, we kind of went through our journeys together, met on Instagram. One's in Florida and one's in the DC area. And we're meeting up in DC just to kind of, you know, have a vacation, have fun together. And it's like, you know, what better way to celebrate Breast Cancer Awareness Month than being with some sisters and like having a good time? And, you know, like, I guess in my mind, just really celebrating that we're done, you know, like, you never know if you're done, I guess I would say, with cancer, but we're grateful for where we're at, you know, and I think we appreciate each and every day, and you have to celebrate, you know, all of that in life, you know. So I'm just really looking forward, you know, to a weekend together with them.
Yes, that sounds fabulous.
I love, you mentioned positivity, and I, you know, when I was researching you, I just love this whole idea. It kind of started with, you know, your husband, and he said, you got to make some lemonade, you know, because life does. It hands you some lemons and sometimes a whole lot of lemons. But I just love that your strength and your positivity through all of this just really seemed to blossom and never let you down. And I mean, I think, you know, I might be paraphrasing for you, but it feels like you have to give yourself the grace if you're having a bad day, if you're down, but it's just that getting yourself back up, you know, and kind of remaining positive as you can. So I don't know if you want to speak at all about positivity, because I feel like it's such a strong theme within your book and within you just as a person.
It is. It really is. You know, the reason that my husband and I launched Gotta Make Lemonade, which again is an online community to inspire positivity in the face of adversity, no matter what it was that knocked you down, but how you got back up and how you turned it into something better. And as I lay in my recovery bed after my mastectomy, really it was in the having one of those just woe is me moments. And with all the love and concern and care, my husband looked at me and he said, you know, you got to make lemonade. And, you know, I know it's a cliche, but it's so true. And really all he had to do was say that. And I realized, I'm like, you know what? I've got to make sense of this. I have to make something better of this. It can't just be, you know, that this thing down and I'm struggling here. I have to make it to be something better. And I have to find the positive side to things. And I had started on that positive path earlier before my mastectomy, just through the diagnosis process, because in the first week or two after my diagnosis, I was riddled with this level of anxiety that I had never felt in my life. I'm a really positive person. I'm an energizer bunny. You know, let things roll off my back. Try not to get, like, I'm a little bit of a wounded bird because I'm kind of sensitive, but for the most part, I'm like, okay, you know, brush off, keep going. But I just literally was a physical, visceral, horribly, horrible feeling response where it almost felt like there was this coursing vibration going through my entire body. And it just felt awful. And I took a deep breath one day and I said, Samantha, I said to myself, I can't feel this way. It's going to be a long road for this. You know, I've got the mastectomy and I don't know what's coming next after that. And I've got reconstruction after that for sure. And what, you know, what is this journey going to bring? I can't feel like this for the next, you know, however many months or years. And so at that moment, I literally made a decision to flip my perspective and try to find that bright side in everything that came next. And it wasn't always easy, but you know, I started with some positive self-talk, and I really take people through this as well in the book, because I think it's a really important tool to have in your arsenal. But the positive self-talk for me looked like this. All right, Samantha, you have cancer. All right, what's positive? Well, we caught it early. Great job. Keep going. What else is positive? I'm like, okay, like I got to really start to dig deep. well, I have great insurance. I have a positive support system with my husband and my family around me. I'm in otherwise good health, which will help with reducing complications in surgery and a faster recovery. And just then it was flooding with all the things that were good. And that helped. That helped tremendously. And so when we launched Gotta Make Lemonade, that was the idea, to share positivity and how I turned it around to hopefully uplift others when they're going through some dark days.
I love that. And I've heard through so many survivors too, just, you know, there is a big mental aspect to cancer. And I think it's not atypical, you know, to have anxiety, to have depression, to have feelings that you never had before a cancer diagnosis. It's totally normal. Obviously, you need to chat with your doctor, and I think keep them filled in on like what's happening. But, you know, support and like this positive talk to yourself, I mean, these are all great tools for your toolbox that you can help yourself you know, get through this, and, you know, definitely keeping your doctor like in the loop on things though, because, you know, sometimes they can see and help you, and even if it's talking to another, you know, person too, you know, they can help guide you in that direction. But it's just, it's such a big aspect for people going into and coming out of a cancer diagnosis. It's just huge. I hear it from so many others.
It is an essential part. And there have been many, many studies that have proven the importance of a positive mindset in longevity post-cancer.
Yeah. And I think I heard, you know, if your body, all your body has to do is focus on like healing, that's one less thing it has to do, is if your mental game can be in check, it's just one less thing it has to operate and do and maneuver. Like, that's already kind of done. It can truly focus on healing. And I think that that's such a powerful thing. And if you're not at a good mental place, like, you know, it's filling your, how do you get your toolbox filled back up and get there, you know? And again, not every day is going to be sunshine and roses and Pollyanna and everything's perfect, but how do you get yourself back up? You know, that's definitely so important.
It is. And I'm so happy that people are, you know, open to looking into how to do that.
Yeah. So lastly, I wanted to talk a little bit about celebrating the milestones, because when this is going to be airing, it will be my 6th cancerversary, which is very exciting. And obviously, I try to celebrate each and everything that I can possibly. But I know that you recently had your 5th cancerversary, and I know I just loved how you spent it. And I would love if you could share with the listeners how you celebrated your 5th cancerversary.
Oh, absolutely. So of course, you know, the 5th cancerversary, that 5-year mark, as we all know as survivors, it's just every 5 years you got to really celebrate, but every year is a celebration. But this particular 5-year, I decided I wanted to just sweat it out with some girlfriends, and I took and try something new. I took a class that was something I'd never, at a place I'd never done before. It was a really fun, hardcore workout. And then the nicest thing was really coming home to my family, who surprised me with some congratulations balloons and a cake, or cupcakes rather, that you know, we got to celebrate with. Of course, there's that sugar, but see, all that balance.
90-10, you sweated it out before, didn't you?
Exactly. That was the perfect combo.
So I always ask every listener for a Tina tip. So something you would give, you know, advice to maybe someone in the midst of their journey, someone maybe freshly diagnosed. But what kind of, you know, thing is most, like, what do you think is the most resonating tip that you would give to someone else going through breast cancer?
Take it one day at a time and truly understand that as you are riding the waves, the upswing will always come. And in those low moments that seem like you're never going to see the other side, truly knowing that you will get through it and that you will see the other side is incredibly impactful.
No, I love that. That's beautiful. And sometimes it's hard to, like, it's hard to remember where you were. Like, now you are where you wanted to be. Like, it's such an interesting mindscape sometimes when you think about how far you've come. And it's such a gradual thing that you don't realize, like, you know, you're 5 years out, I'm almost 6 years out. But that, you know, first immediate part, it's so hard to believe that you're going to get back to this normalcy. And I always tell people, it might not be the same exact normal that you had, but you will get to some level of normalcy again.
You absolutely will. And everyone says it's the new normal. And some people say, I don't want a new normal. I like my old normal just fine. But there is something about what I call the gift of cancer. And it seems really wrong sometimes to even say those words like that. But that's in seeing the positivity, where you can go to, how you can grow, whether it's showing yourself that you can get through something you never thought you could, and that you have a resiliency you didn't realize was within you, to, you know, reaching your healthiest healthy, switching over your products that you're using on your body to create a healthier home, not just for yourself, but for your family, to eating more healthfully in a plant-based diet where you're filling at least half your plate full of veggies at every meal, losing weight, and realizing, wait, that benefit allows me to reduce my chances of other chronic diseases now. So there is that positive side of things, and there is a sort of simplistic gift in there that's really more complicated than it seems.
No, I love that. I actually wrote like a whole story about it being a gift, and I'll have to post that when we air this too. Well, Samantha, where can people find you? So if they're interested in your retreats, your book, like what social media things are you active on, and where can people find you?
The best is on Instagram, because I have links in my bio to the retreat, to the books, to my personal website that has a lot more information. I also speak around the country, so if people who are listening work for an organization, whether it's a charity or a corporation, I'm a keynote speaker as well. And I really travel all over speaking to groups in from small sizes to rooms of 1,000. So all of that information, those links are all on my Instagram. But that's at Samantha Harris TV. That's also the same handle for Facebook, but I'm much better about Instagram. And I'm also pretty good about trying to respond to comments and sometimes to DMs as well. So please do follow me on Instagram, and all the information's there. And if, for those of you who are not on Instagram, you can just go to samantha-harris.com, but the retreat info is not on that website.
Well, Samantha, I must say I was completely starstruck, but you've made me feel so at ease, and I just really enjoyed our chat together. And I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for all that you do and all that you inspire within survivors. I just think it's such an amazing, amazing cause. And you're such an amazing person leading this charge.
Well, thank you. And again, thank you for all you're doing. And I hope to see you at one of the retreats soon.
I know. I hope so. I'm going to get my massage on.
Yes, that's right. Well, thank you again. I'm glad my little one was able to give us enough space so we could spend the proper amount of time.
Well, thank you. Well, you have an amazing day, okay?
Yeah, thanks a lot, Tina. You too.
Take care. Bye.
All right, bye-bye. Bye.
I want to give a special thanks to Nicholas Lay for producing my podcast, DJ Breast Cancer. And a shout out to Whirligig Photography for their amazing content for my website. And the band Roustabout for sharing their song with me, Pariah. A special thanks goes out to all of you listeners. Please leave a review on iTunes and let me know any feedback or any future stories. More information can be found on my website, www.djbreastcancer.org.